Welcome to the Aquariumax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 171, recorded July 15th, 2013.
Greetings, Aquariumaxers everywhere.
Okay, I'm going to say this one. See if you can get what it means, because it's kind of a tricky one. It's hard. You ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here it goes. Hallo.
And where's it from?
That's Dutch.
Okay, cool. Like,
okay, it wasn't really tricky. I was just trying to throw you off.
Okay, so who have we got lined up today?
Matt in Perth and Mick in Carnforth and Elena in California and Tom in Provo. Elena cool. In California, that sounds like a new name.
It is a new name.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's just give a brief rundown on the
yes.
Corys.
Your Corys.
My Corys finally arrived on my birthday, coincidentally enough, which was last Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I received 11 Corys in the mail. Corydoras pygmaeus. One was sadly DOA, but the others were fine and are doing well and are now happily swimming about with the other four. So we have 14 Corydoras pygmaeus, a nice little school, and enough to hopefully get them to breed. I said definitely and hopefully about the same thing. That's deplorable. But what I.
That's okay.
You know what
You're
I
just
mean.
Being optimistic.
Okay. There you go. All right, there we go.
Okay.
So I'm happy about that.
Okay. We have Matt in Perth first.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the sound is much better. Yes. There's no more distorted introduction music and voices are clearer. I can still hear the computer fan, but that is much more pleasant than having to turn my volume right down to stop the distortion hurting my ears in the introduction music.
Good. Thank you. We always appreciate that sort of feedback. And I hope you can't hear our dryer right now. I did close the door.
You did. The laundry is going. Sorry. We're multitasking. And sorry about the computer fan. That's not really anything we can do anything about because
Yet. We
use the computer to record.
But as soon as we get the field recorder, we'll plug it into that. We won't even need to hook it to the computer, and that'll be better.
Yeah. On the subject of water changes, I have a 20-foot hose that I attach to the end of my power head. My fish tanks are in the dining room right next to the kitchen. The power head is also attached to an extension cord. I lower the power head into the fish tank onto a flat log. That way, all I have to do is turn the power head with the hose in the kitchen sink, wait until enough water has been pumped out. Then turn it off, run the water out of the tap until it reaches a good pressure and temperature. Laugh as you get sprayed with a little water trying to get the hose end onto the tap to fill up the tank again. The power head, which used to be pumping water out, now serves as a convenient way to keep the fish tank end of the hose underwater while the tank refills.
Which is a very important consideration. Mm-hmm. I've been on the other end of not having a weight on it.
You might have to laugh a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a strong enough power head and careful monitoring of the hose extension cord situation, it would be possible to use this, even if the tank was a long way away from the nearest sink. Just add the water conditioner at the end, and hey, presto! A fish tank water change with none of the usual effort in a third of the time. I know I talked about this before, but I think it bears repeating.
Yeah. It's a great way to do it. It's has a lot of the benefits of the Python, some benefits the Python does not have. And it's... Like you said, you can do it almost anywhere. The only way that it would be really hard is if you're trying to change a tank that's upstairs and you want to fill it from downstairs.
Then the water pressure doesn't work very well.
But otherwise, yeah, it's an awesome method. So that's not even a disadvantage. It's just that would be a silly thing to do, what I just said. But I think that's a great way to do it. That's how I've done Gwen's tank in her room quite often. Similar to that, using the power head method, and it works quite well. Although... With her, I don't run it all the way to the sink, but I use a bucket with the power head and switch them like that. But his method is even easier because you don't have to bother with buckets.
Yeah, I don't think you have a hose other than the Python that's long enough to get to the sink.
I have the Python and the drainer, and I usually don't use the drainer because I usually use the Python to do both. But yeah, I don't have I don't have one long enough to reach the sink. So, but I think his method is a great one. So thanks for sharing, Matt.
He says, on the subject of water conditioning, I recently ran out of conditioner and did a half water change, US 86 US gallons, on my 6-foot tank with no ill effect. I normally use Seachem Prime, which does not need refrigeration. Do you know how water conditioners work?
Well.
And so I guess he's asking, Why was there not any difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things that go on with that. Many, many factors that are at play. One of them is that municipal water supplies, which I'm assuming is one, change quite a bit from day to day as they're monitored, and you know, for bacterial counts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll the city,
chemicals in them,
or the county, or the province, or you know, the territory, whatever the governing body that controls your water supply. They will treat it with different amounts of chemicals based on what's going on. So if the bacterial counts are really low, they might not put as much chlorine or chloramine into the water, things like that. And then other times they might find that there's been a problem, a breach in the pipe, and the bacterial count's gone high, and so they will put more in, a lot more than they usually do.
So day to day you never are exactly sure what you're going to get?
Right. I'll tell you, for a number of years, I didn't use water conditioners on my water changes unless I was changing a huge amount of water. I do it now just for safety, but if I were doing 30% or less of the water change in the tank, I would never use it for years. And I never had any issues. Fish were fine. But now I just do it just for safety, because you never know if there's going to be a pulse of, you know, increased chloramine or something like that in the water. And the other thing I was going to say about that.
Go ahead.
Well, fish have varying degrees of tolerance and, you know, for chemicals. I read a study actually about bettas used in Brazil to control mosquitoes in water cisterns.
Mm-hmm.
These were drinking water. And there are places in Brazil where the only water they get is they're in these big cisterns that collect rainwater, and the whole villages rely on them, and that is their water supply. That's mm-hmm. that's where they get it. And so mosquitoes breed in them like crazy, but they did experiments putting bettas into them. The thing is, they are chlorinated. These cisterns are chlorinated, but they are chlorinated to varying degrees, and they were putting bettas in them and then coming back after a certain period of time to find how they were doing, and they found they controlled the mosquitoes, and it's surprising that mosquitoes can survive in water that is even minimally chlorinated, but apparently they do. I guess the chlorine wears off and so on, but the bettas were surviving with certain concentrations of chlorine and still eating the mosquitoes and surviving for long enough to be useful in that. And not that I think that's necessarily a great thing for the bettas, but they had some tolerance to fairly low levels of chlorine. I mean, you drop them in a swimming pool, they'd be dead very fast,
right.
Of course. The levels of chlorine in the found in a swimming pool would kill them, but there was nothing like that in the drinking water, but there was some measurable levels, certainly. And so you can sometimes expose fish to certain levels of chlorine without, you know, it's for some fish, those really low levels that are in some water sources. Of course, bettas have an advantage because they're air breathers, and you know, it doesn't damage their labyrinth organ. It would damage their gills and could still be an issue for them and reduce their health and make them uncomfortable, make them stressed, make them even dependent on breathing at the surface. But still, they could survive. But in one water change in a big tank where there are other things for the chlorine to react with other than the fish, the amount of chlorine that's going to get to the fish might be fairly small, unless it happens to be one of those times when the chlorine or chloramine is at a high level. Also, the question about how water conditioners work, I do know a few things, but one thing that I've read is that some of the water conditioners, if they cannot find chlorine or chloramine in the water, they will find oxygen.
And do what?
And they will react with the oxygen and make it no longer oxygen. You know, they'll bind it with other things and so on. So it's not
well, that's
not
good,
free
though.
Available
want the oxygen, right?
Right. I mean, the oxygen elementally is still there, but it becomes bound up in ways that fish can't breathe.
It's not so usable.
Right. And so it's it probably will bind with other things too. So the prime that was in your water from before has probably already reacted with things, and so it's no longer available to react with chlorine by the time you've, you know, several days later when you do water change. But the chlorine does react with other things in the water, all sorts of molecules, and many of those can do things that will render the chlorine not harmful anymore. And, you know, it's all it's a question of degrees of amount of chlorine you have and all kinds of things going on and the dilution in the tank and so on. So hopefully that helps a little bit. And he did have some other things to tell us, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was just saying, as water quality is so important, I think it would be a good idea to devote a future episode explaining nitrates, nitrites, ammonia, pH, etc.
Did we do one on nitrogen cycle?
Probably, but ooh, we could do another one.
We should check and see if we've done one, but we probably
need a nitrogen cycle song.
Nitrogen cycle song, there
yeah.
you go. Well, maybe we ought to do another episode. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like a special one, a bonus episode or something. I like that idea.
Yeah.
We could do that. Cool. Oh, he also, I would like to say this, he liked the interview, and he, of Diana Wallstead, the mycobacteriosis one that we released last week,
mm-hmm.
and he downloaded her ebook.
Oh, good.
And he was happy to have the digital format because it's so compact, and he gets to learn lots about aquatic plants.
You can take it wherever you go.
So I should send Diane an email.
Tell her that.
Say Matt in Australia downloaded your ebook.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure some of you others have looked into that too. And mm-hmm. so thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening. And he also told us that as I had released it, I accidentally released it with the break in the wrong place. Mm. It was just talking over everybody. And Matt found that.
So he helped us.
So I went back in and fixed it, and within 24 hours I think we had it fixed. So thanks to you, Matt.
Alrighty.
Okay. And now I believe it is Mick in Carnforth, UK.
And he says, I just listened to the latest podcast and realized I didn't send you the pictures. So, as promised, I have attached some of the half-beak babies, Cory Fry, the free-range axes, and a couple of very showy Epistogramma cacatoides. Yeah, okay.
How do you pronounce it? With confidence. It doesn't really matter that much. Lots of people do it different ways.
I am going to add a couple of videos to YouTube of the Corys and half-beaks, and I will post you the link when they are up. Borrowed a pair of angels from work as they were spawning on the tank sides. I brought them home to use the tank that the axes were in, and as expected, and despite putting in lots of plastic Amazon sword plants and slanted slates, they spawned on the side of the filter. Naughty things.
The perversity of angelfish that way. Mine would lay...
They just think it's funny, I think.
They do. Yeah. My first pair, when I was a kid, they would always put them on the heater, and then the heater would cook them.
Can you put in, like, a fake filter?
Or put in a heater that's not plugged in and then hide the other one in
the
sump.
Yeah, like, yeah, put the real one in the sump and market that as, you know, angelfish, I don't know, spawning attractant. I don't know what you call it.
There you go.
You know, here's your filter. Ignore the plants. Come over to the fake filter. Then you can take the filter out and put it wherever you're going to hatch it.
These are not the filters you're looking for.
Yeah.
Move along. Yes.
Okay. He said, I had to change the light and it possibly spooked them as they ate all the eggs.
Ah.
So this week they spawned again on the filter. So this time I took out the filter and put it into a hatching tank. The flow from the filter is doing a good job of oxygenating the eggs, but I will have to switch it off in a couple of days so they don't hatch out of the egg only to be sucked directly into the filter intake. Thank goodness I have lots of spare, matured sponge filters in other tanks. I will let you know how the hatch goes. They are due out on Sunday, which is the day we have to leave town until Wednesday. Don't fish ever consult the family calendar before spawning?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
But they don't.
They don't. Seems to me like the last time we went to California, didn't I have, like, baby celestial Daniels or something?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember.
It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It worked out, but extra training for our pet sitter.
Yep. Oh, and Mick said a funny thing, too, because we were still waiting for the Corys.
Corys, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he says, bad news on the Pygmaeus. If you can get a plane ticket over here, I have lots in stock and will give you 20% discount to offset your flight. I think that's a great idea.
That would
Let's
be so
go.
There.
We so, you know, would not need our arm twisted very hard to go over to the UK.
No, that would be awesome. Although I'm afraid a 20% discount might not quite cut it.
Whoa.
But it's very generous, and we do appreciate it.
We'll still take it. No, one of these days we need to get over there.
And so check out Mick's pics and videos. We did.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, I love the way that his little corys, they're teeny little corys, but they swim just like adult corys. It's pretty awesome.
And
the half-beaks, you know, half-beaks are just such unusual-looking fish. They're fun. And you can see one of his axes surfacing from the deep of his pond and, you know, all kinds of stuff. His angel egg, so check them all out.
Is it time for the break yet? I think it is.
It is time for the break. Should we have one?
Break!
Hello, this is Ken Jones of the Prince of Ponds and Pet Tech Podcasts, and you're listening to one of my favorites, the Aquarimax Show.
Now there are more ways than ever to be a part of Aquarimax. Okay, welcome back from our fabulous break.
Okay.
And we have a new contributor, Elena, in California. And she says, I just discovered your podcast. Great work, thanks. Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it. I'm looking to buy more fish for my newly upgraded 55-gallon aquarium. Can you recommend an online store that ships to California? I'm looking mostly for tetras.
Well, I sent her an email. Mm-hmm. This was a while ago. Sorry, everyone, we're so slow lately on getting back to you.
Well, we're doing the interviews.
Yeah, we're doing interviews, and so we haven't done a live podcast, but I think you'll probably forgive us because...
We were doing interviews.
Yeah, we did interviews, which is something we love to do. And... Anyway, I sent her an email and said, the Bailey brothers are out there in California, and so
then you don't have to worry about if it's legal or not.
Mm-hmm. And
good point,
so I suggested that.
As my dad, my parents live in California still, as my dad is fond of saying,
mm-hmm.
everything is illegal in California.
There are many things that are.
Any kind of catalog, except, I don't know, maybe not if it's a clothing catalog, but... Any kind of plant catalog or weapons catalog or anything like that, you look at it and it says, sorry, cannot ship to California.
Yeah, there's a lot of them say that. It's true. The AZ Gardens, though, they ship to California, too.
Oh, good. Did you tell her that one, too?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I've purchased plants and dry goods from them before. And they have she's looking specifically for tetras. They have quite a selection on their webpage of tetras.
Oh, good.
So those are a couple of suggestions for her.
Well, those are good ones, and if she can go with the Bailey brothers, it's probably less shipping and less stress on the fish because they don't have to go as far.
That could be. I don't know what part of California she's in. If she's near Point Loma, then...
Oh, well, I guess that's true, huh?
Then that would help, but if she's, like, way up in, I don't know...
Chico
or someplace, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we have Tom and Provo next.
Oh, and by the way, welcome to Aquarimax, Elena, as your...
Yes.
...your first-time contribution. We like to
let us know when you get your tetras.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tom says, my Marine Land aquatic plant LED light with timer has arrived.
Yay! And there was much rejoicing.
Yay! And to accommodate it, I have replaced the aquarium hood with a flat glass top. I am, for the most part, very pleased with the light. It has 6500K white lights and blue lights for night. The factory settings for the timer are as follows. Time set to 3 p.m., blue on at 9 a.m., blue and white on at 10 a.m., whites off at 8 p.m., and all off at 10 p.m. You can, of course, set your own times, but with limits. Only one on time and one off time is allowed for each set of lights. That means that there's not an option for a siesta schedule in which plants get light in the morning and then again later in the day.
Like the one Diana Wallstead suggested. Yeah.
Look at this. He has this in quotations. Wait, I hear Russ saying. Didn't you listen to the podcast in which I explained how to accomplish this using two timers in a series?
Well, I'm glad somebody listened to it.
There's the rub. The timer settings have no backup, and if the power so much as blinks, they revert to the factory settings, foiling any attempt to use it in series with a second timer. Thus, even a brief accidental loss of power, say at 11 p.m., sets the timer to 3 p.m. and keeps the white lights on for the next 5 hours and the blue lights on for yet another two.
Hmm. That's
not
ideal.
You needed to go to work for these, like, aquarium product development companies and design all of these things. That's what I say.
That's what you say. Okay.
Yep.
Well, their timing schedule is a pretty nice one. It's not a bad schedule. And you could always adjust it by saying it's actually
you know, 4 p.m. if you wanted to turn it on at a different time and so on. But I see what Tom is saying. He has a very good point. The siesta schedule is a really nice thing to be able to combat algae, and you can't set it up. That's no fun. Mm-mm. I like how it's the CoreLife digital, you know, power station, whatever. I can't remember the name of it now. Anyway, it's a power strip that has a timer built into it, and it has a button cell battery backup. So if it gets unplugged, it'll still retain the time settings.
That's nice.
And yeah, that's one of the reasons I really like it. It would be nice if Marineland would do that. Of course, this is sort of a pioneering thing because they're building a light with an integrated timer with independent settings for both the blue and white bulbs, which is cool. But
they should have consulted you first.
Well, here's a cool thing. When they first released their Marineland LED series, they didn't have timers.
So you just had to get a timer and plug it into the timer.
Right. But when you do so, like I have one, and it's plugged into a timer, but you can't separately, you know, control the blue and white lights. And
right.
Everybody said, you can't separately control the blue and white lights. And they fixed it. They changed it. So now you can separately control them. So I'm hoping what they'll do is listen to people like Tom here, and
send them the podcast.
Maybe so. We should. This needs to be sent into them because I think that's a great suggestion. Tom has to be able to make it so that you can change whatever time you have and put a battery backup in. Why not? So you don't lose the time. Button cell batteries work well for that. It's not very often they get unplugged.
Nope.
So that's. I'm glad you brought that up, Tom. Thank you.
Yep. And just as a finish, he says, "I'm mostly pleased with the light, but I wish Marineland had given the timer a bit more thought. Perhaps other Aquamaxers with this light have found ways around these issues."
Well, you could use an approved universal power, what is it called? Uninterruptible power supply, UPS, like we have.
Not the package delivery service.
No, not the package delivery service. You could plug it into an uninterruptible power supply, but it doesn't help much in terms of adjusting the time. It only helps so that it doesn't get kicked onto 3 p.m., so that's not very useful, actually. Never mind. Okay.
That's okay. Okay, so if anybody has any ideas, feel free to write them in.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that you're mentioning
maybe
that. Tell me.
Let's start an Aquamax petition on change.org to tell Marineland to fix the lights. Okay, that was flippant.
We should just write them. And just say, this would be really awesome.
If you want to go the undramatic route.
Yep. You know, a lot of times when I write
You know, they're never going to make a documentary about that, though. They're never going to turn that into a made-for-television movie if we just write them a letter.
That's very true. But maybe if we do it at change.org, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of times when I write to aquarium companies, they're very quick in getting back to me.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it might be...
They're not like...
Might be helpful.
Car companies...
No.
Or cereal companies.
You know, was it Ocean Nutrition a year or so ago? I wrote to them.
I don't know, was it?
I think it might have been. I think it was Ocean Nutrition.
I get giggly again. We better be careful.
Well, I wrote to them to say, I'm having a problem with the pellet size of this food.
Oh,
and
right. With
they
the
were
beta,
very,
the beta
very
food,
helpful.
Huh?
And they sent me some samples of different foods, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. It worked out really well, and I loved the food they sent me. And now if anybody ever asks me, I'm going to say that's one of the best betta foods I've ever used.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, Addison's betta food. Awesome
stuff.
It's really cool. And I will say it
so
because I've used it, and it's
one
awesome.
For customer
it's
service,
Addison's
right?
Betta Pro. But Addison's Betta Pro is kind of expensive, not that easy to find in just stores.
Do they not carry it in most stores? You have to get it online?
A lot of stores will carry the Addison's Betta food, mm-hmm. but a lot of them won't carry the Addison's Betta Pro.
Oh,
some of
well,
them do,
that's because you have to be
a pro. But they sent me a whole bunch.
You gotta have your little card that says, I'm a member of the Betta Pro Club.
Oh, is that
I'm
what
I'm a
it
pro
is?
Beta.
Okay. Or you can just write to them. Well, when I wrote to them, they sent me some.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Like a 6 month supply of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing because then we had it when we bred the betas.
I know. It was great. And I was able to try it and it worked really well. So sometimes just writing them will solve a lot of problems. And Marineland, I got to say, they stand behind their products in that even when they had that heater recall thing, mm-hmm. I mean, they refunded everybody's money for those heaters.
Yeah,
they're a good company in a lot of ways, and I think that's one of them. They're obviously trying to help out their customers, so it would be worth writing them and seeing what they did.
Okay, I guess I won't start a petition.
Okay, that's probably a better thing.
You can just write a letter. I'll find something else to start a petition about.
Okay. Well, I think that's about it for this week, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else has an idea for a petition.
Okay, well, it's going to take a while for them to get it to us.
Send me your ideas. What should we start a petition about? Just for fun.
I don't know. You have to be pretty careful with that stuff.
I know. I'm just being silly.
Well, you know that there are people starting petitions to get tropical fish so regulated it'll be hard to keep any and things like
that.
I worry
about
that.
Let's start a petition
to not ban tropical fish.
Negate their petition.
I mean, it's important to protect fish.
Say we refute and negate your busybody interference in our hobby.
There you go.
How about that? or we could go the Charlton Heston route.
Yeah.
You can have my fish. When you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. Isn't that what he said?
So, I think so. But they have to be cold, fish. Dead, wet fingers.
I guess so.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. I'll be quiet now.
No, it's okay. I'm going to be quiet too because I'm going to say, may the fish.
I'll be quiet.
I'll be peace.
Okay, that's from a movie. If you know what it is, you're cool.
Oh, this is getting nuts. So, may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.